Okay, so we're going to try to wrap up our series today, perhaps. At least that's my plan. Been talking about the Holy Good Ghost, and this is the number five in the series. And we're trying to get to know the Holy Spirit in a better way. We remember that we serve the God of more, right? He does more than we could ever ask or think. And we have to keep that concept because sometimes, you know, one of the biggest mistakes that you and I make in life is we limit a limitless God. See, we limit him by our faith and by what we expect and believe that he can do. See, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we know not, so we have not. And I believe God wants us to have, he wants us to move, and we need to enlist ourselves in the school of the Spirit so we can flow with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity that is upon the earth today. He's here flowing. He's moving in our midst. Sometimes we, you know, feel him when we pray. Sometimes we feel him when we sing. But he's here even if we don't feel him. You know, we need to, you know, get to the place that we understand that the walk that you and I have is the walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the exciting part as we follow God and we start to move with him. And I could guarantee this beyond a shadow of doubt that once we start to flow with him, he's going to take us places we never thought we would ever go. And he's going to show us things that we thought we would never see. And we're going to experience things that we never thought we ever could experience. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, is our teacher and our revealer. A couple scriptures that I'm going to start off with here. Both of them found in Proverbs. The first one is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says, "The spirit of man is a lamp to the Lord, searching all the most inner parts of his being." Then over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I ask for a special stirring, Lord, to be in this place. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're the teacher, you're the revealer, you're the guide, you're the one who wants to take us places, Lord, and we just want to follow. Lord, we thank you that we're going to be obedient. Immediate obedience, Lord. When we feel your leading, we're just going to follow. We bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I pray for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. All right, so the first point I kind of want to look at here is we're going to look at the idea of guarding your heart. You know, that's very important that we guard our heart. But first, we want to see the idea of a spirit of man is a lamp to the Lord. We understand that we're a three-part being, correct? Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And we're a tripart being. Now, our spirit and soul is so interconnected, it's very difficult to tell those two apart. You have to really use the Word of God to find out. In Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God can separate the soul from the spirit. So really, it takes the Word of God to help us to understand, you know, how we're flowing, what we're doing, okay? Now, when we're born, we are born spiritually dead. Now, that does not mean your spirit is dead. That means we're separated from God, spiritual separation from God. Now, only when we're born again that we allow the life of God to come inside of us, that barrier is taken away and that we are spiritually alive unto God again. So remember that God is a spirit and God wants to speak to us. So the best way that God speaks to us is through our human spirit. And so there's an advantage if we're born again, if we allowed ourselves to be surrendered to God. Okay? So that way we can have better understanding of what God is trying to do with us. Now, even before we save, we know that God's trying to talk to us, right? I know I can count, you know, countless times in a sense where God was trying to speak to me as I was growing up. I was separated from God. I was making a lot of bad choices. But through those things, God would try to speak to me. And he was speaking to me and trying to draw me close to him, although I resisted it. You know what I mean? You know, my concept of God was not proper. I didn't have a correct revelation, shall we say, of who he is. But when I became born again, because I remember reading the Bible before I got saved, and man, I'll tell you what, it was just really hard to decipher. But when I became born again, then, as it says in John, it says you can perceive the kingdom of God. That means you have opportunity to have better understanding of what what God is trying to speak to us. Now, you know, it's a big book, right? Have you ever had picked one up? I mean, I carry mine up here. It's a thick book. It's hard to know it all, right? But as if you just keep hanging in there, keep following God, and stay in the Word of God, you know, you're going to start to understand things you never did understand before. And that's exciting, and the good news is, it's a long ride, you know. We're never going to learn it all while we're here on this earth. It's so vast. I mean, there's so many different things I see. I read through the Bible every year. I challenge people to do that. I've done it every year since 1985. And when I read that, every year, something new jumps out to me. Of course, I'm getting older. Maybe I'm forgetting some things. Who knows how that works, you know? But anyway, it might be that deal. But anyway, there, all of a sudden, God just jumped something out at me. You know, and man, I don't remember seeing that. But see, that's the Holy Spirit breathing life on the Word of God and wanting me to receive from it, some from Him. And that's awesome. So I encourage you to hang in there. And, you know, if you're not saved yet, you ought to get saved. You know, surrender your life to Christ. It's a life-changing experience. Amen. Praise God. It's how we go from darkness to light. Well, then the scripture we shared was about guarding your heart. See, our heart is very important. And I see the heart as the seat where the spirit and the soul reside. Okay? Now, our soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. Our spirit is who we are because we were made in the image of God. God is a spirit, so we're a spirit being also. And the fact is, our spirit and soul is going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever. Okay? Those things just don't go away. So it's important that if we're going to live forever and ever and ever, we want to be living in the right place. Amen? Amen. We want to be in heaven and not in hell. You know, hell's a place. It was created for the devil. And everybody who rejects the free gift of life in Jesus Christ will go to hell. That's just the way it is. You know, so we as Christians need to be a light to the world. We need to be evangelistic. I'm sure we all have friends or family that are not walking with God right now. We need to reach out to them and try to get them into God's kingdom. You know, God's not wanting people to miss out. He wants everybody to be a part, but yet there's a way it has to be done. You know, we need to surrender our life to Him. So what the enemy wants to do to us Christians, especially even a sinner, is that he attacks us in our heart. He wants to hurt us in our heart. Because if we're wounded in our heart area, then it hinders us in the flow of God and everything that God wants for us to do. And that's why we got to guard our heart. Some of the things that the enemy will try to come in and do, and the enemy I'm talking about is the devil, he'll lie to us. He'll put lies in our heart, okay? He'll put lies in there and try to get us to believe the lie. See, the hardest thing is that when we believe the lie is the truth, well, then if we do that, then sometimes we believe the truth is a lie. So that's why we got to be careful. We got to make sure that we don't allow those lies to come in there, because what happens is, you know, as you and I go through life, sometimes life's not all peachy keen, is it? How many has had some problems in life? How many has had some pain, some grief, you know, heartache and woe? We all have, right? So all those things can form us and cause us to, I guess, look at the world through those glasses of pain and being wounded, you know. And when that happens, it can hinder the flow of what God's wanting to do in our life. As well as lies, there's manipulation. You know, God will use things and people in our life to manipulate us, you know, to get us to believe the wrong thing. To get us to think the wrong thing. Because if he can get you mad at church or mad at the pastor, you know, and then you say, I'm never going to go there. You know, have you ever been to a bad restaurant? Have you ever went back to another restaurant? Amen. Get over it. You know what I'm saying? I've even given the same bad restaurant a second chance. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe they just had a bad day. You know, maybe we're having a bad day sometimes, you know, but, you know, we need to, you know, make sure that we try to walk in the Spirit so we don't offend people, you know, especially here at church. And if we offend you, I'm sorry. But if it's the Word that offends you, I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry, right? See, the Word's the Word, and the Word sometimes slaps you upside the head. Sometimes it's like that. Next thing the devil tries to do is bring confusion to your life. Have you ever been confused before? You know, I get confused every now and then. You know, I'm not sure which way north is sometimes. I know it's that way here at church because I've been here long enough. But, you know, I hate those towns that are kind of more circular than square. I do well on a square, you know. Maybe I am a square. I don't know. I am a little more square than I used to be. But, you know, sometimes you can get turned around. And sometimes if you get that misinformation, you know, you can start to operate in confusion, and it holds us back in life, and it keeps us, you know, from God's best. And what do we do about these things? Well, see, if we do not guard our heart, it can hinder the flow of God's Spirit in our life. I have grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not probably going to go into all that in this series. There's so many things about the Holy Spirit in the Bible that it's hard to cover it all. That's in a little small series here. But, you know, the Bible says for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, He's not going to leave us. You know, there is a sin, you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you blaspheme Him, well, that's a bad deal. But most people will probably, will probably never get to that part. But, you know, we can grieve Him. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness. And so if we're gossiping, or our eyes are looking at things maybe they shouldn't see, or we are saying things we shouldn't say or doing things we shouldn't do, sometimes we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And all we got to do is repent. That's how easy it is. God made it so simple, anybody could do it, right? All we have to do is repent and ask the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, and we're back good to go. But see, what happens is it hinders our flow. Have you ever had a drain that was clogged? You know what I mean? You maybe put something down the drain you shouldn't have put down the drain, and then you're there in the sink and you're looking at it and nothing's moving. Or if it's moving, it's moving real slow. You know, you just can't wait it out, right? You can't wait out that. It'll just be like that. It'll get worse and worse as time goes on. What has to happen? Well, you got to clean your drain. And when you clean the drain, the flow starts again. You know what I mean? And that's how the flow gets really good. You know, I remember several years ago, you know, in our old house, all of a sudden water started to back up into the basement. And what had happened, some roots had, we have old clay tile drain. I mean, this house is early. I mean, it's old. It's old. It's older than I am by far. And anyway, so them roots grew in there. And they had to dig up, and they had to send a rooter thing down there to clean out that clog. Well, when that clog all of a sudden opened up, boosh, just flow started to go again. And see, that's what happens when we get clogged up. It stops it, and it'll, you know, maybe gets it down to a trickle, but all we have to do is repent. Amen. And when we repent, whoosh, we'll get the flow of the Spirit again. Things will start flowing in our life. Hey, we all make mistakes, right? Nobody here is perfect. Only Jesus Christ was perfect. You and I live in a real world. We have to make real decisions. We have to go through real stuff in our life. And as we go through those things, you know, sometimes they can get in the way, and they can hinder us being with God. Now we're going to look at a couple passages. The first one's going to be talking about a well. That's going to be talking about a woman, a Samaritan woman. And it's found in John chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So here we see the well. This is a very common passage found in John chapter 4. And there's more to it, both on the top and the bottom, but I just picked the center. And I'll try to explain a little bit different, more of it here. What happened, Jesus and his disciples were traveling. They had a traveling ministry. They go from town to town preaching the gospel. Jesus would be healing people, raising the dead every now and then, you know, just having church. You know what I'm saying? And what happened is now they're in Samaria. Now, Samaria was a place where it was not part of the Jewish nation in a sense. It used to be. There was kind of the northern tribes. But what had happened is the Samaritans had intermingled with other races. So the Jews were prejudiced against them. They would not even, some Jews would never even walk through Samaria. They looked down on them. And so this woman was shocked But here, a Jew, and she didn't know he was the king, a Jew was there coming to her town and talking to her about water. It just amazed her. Now, ironically, she tried to debate theology with Jesus, because there was a well there that Jacob had sunk, and that they looked at them, that Samaritans, you know, looked at, hey, they do God, and they were just following him the way they were supposed to, you know, even though they were doing it wrong. So Jesus came, and he talked about the gift of God. He opened the door with that gift. And see, that's what salvation, this is talking about the Holy Spirit in the area of salvation. It talks about a well springing up inside of us. Now, wells are very important, especially if you need water, right? Now, some wells, you sink them and they're just there and they only get, you know, runoff from the top. But a good well, if you hit a spring, that thing's always fed from down below with fresh water. Fresh water. And that's what this is talking about. See, the Holy Spirit is the living water in our life. And this is talking about salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. Maybe on a hot day, and you're out of water, and you've just been sweating, and your mouth is dry, and you don't have any water right now, and you're thirsty. You'd just give about anything for some water. And see, that's what it's like, you know, when we come to God, because there's a thirst inside each and every one of us that only God can satisfy. I know in my life that sometimes, you know, I can walk by the cupboard, you know, where I would keep all the treats, and I open that up, I look in there, that's not it. That's not what I want, you know? And I want something, but there's nothing in this earth that can satisfy. So then I've learned by process of elimination, sometimes that's God calling me to prayer. Sometimes that's God calling me that he wants to give me something that only he can supply. Because there is a thirst that can only be quenched by the Spirit of God. And when we do that, we start to learn that, then we start to really get a deeper understanding about God, and it's awesome. And so this lady, she tried to debate with Jesus about things and just wasn't going to work out. And, you know, as the Jews considered them outsiders, she didn't really understand when Jesus was talking to her, he was wanting to include her. He wasn't wanting to put her away or push her out. He was wanting to bring her in. But she had this in her mind that the Jews hate me, so they can't, you know, it's us against them. But Jesus wanted to bring her in. See, she'd had a rough life. When Jesus talked to her and told her about all these things, he mentioned about her husband. She mentioned her husband, and he said, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now, you're not married to. See, this woman was out at the well, probably around noon. It was in the heat of the day when people don't go get water. They get the water maybe in the mornings when it's cooler in the evening. But she had to go out at lunchtime because nobody accepted her. All the women in town probably jeered her and put her down because of the lifestyle she had. But here Jesus is, including her, bringing her in, wanting her to understand that he has something that she needs. And that's that water that can only satisfy that thirst, that spiritual thirst that we have. And so once she finally got a hold of that, you know, it was awesome, but see, sometimes, you know, we need to get a hold of it. We need to get a hold of what Jesus has for us. He's offering that living water. See, whatever the Holy Spirit touches brings life. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to work in our life, so that he can regenerate us, and it regenerate us, and the Holy Spirit brings that regeneration. And so that living water is talking about salvation here. And all Christians, no matter your background, no matter what you've done, no matter how many bad things you've done, how many people you've hurt, Jesus offers the same thing to each and every one of us. is salvation. Salvation through the Spirit of God, and we can receive that because the Spirit of God at this part flows into us. When you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. Like I said, sometimes we feel Him. We don't feel Him all the time. We don't go by our feelings anyway. But I praise God for feelings every now and then. I love it when the Holy Spirit touches me. When I feel God moving in my life and I see some things. And, you know, sometimes when you lift up your hands to God, you can feel the Spirit of God, you know, maybe touching your hands. Or you hear the Spirit of God, you know, deep down in your belly. You know, you feel Him. And it's not weirdness. Some of you guys are saying, what on earth is he talking about? It's this Bible stuff, people. You know, but see, we've been trained by religion and by the world that, you know, we don't want to go there because that's kind of crazy stuff. Well, crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus, man. Amen. You know, I want to be crazier. You know, I want to be crazier. I want to be able to flow. But see, the first step is to get God inside of you. Get that Spirit of God inside of you. And like I said, that happens, you know, when you're born again. I remember the night I became born again. I remember finally deciding I wanted Jesus more than I wanted this other thing because I always had this other thing. Has anybody ever had another thing? Something that was in the way. And this was in the way. I mean, it's not, you know, this thing that was in the way for me wasn't in the way maybe for everybody, but it was in my way. Until finally I said, I don't want that no more. I want that. And Jesus Christ changed my life. Just changed my life. Coming into contact with God, and it's a life-changing experience. Well, then after the well, Jesus went on to talk about some things in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, this was a passage. They were in Jerusalem, and there was a feast going on, and Jesus was there, as was everybody else. The men, especially, had to travel to Jerusalem several times a year to partake of these feasts. You know, this one was the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's also other feasts that they do, the Passover, you know, in the book of Exodus when, you know, the death angel passed over. Well, the Jews also celebrate that when we do that around Easter time. And Jesus is our Passover lamb. But this in here is talking about the Feast of the Tabernacle. It says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those had believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus cried out. I mean, you can almost picture him, you know, just crying out. He loved people so much. Matter of fact, when, you know, one passage talked about when he was looking at Jerusalem, he wept because they were so lost. And he said, I wish it's like a chicken, you know, putting her wings around her baby chicks. Just wanted to bring them in and protect them, but they wouldn't have none of it. Just couldn't see it. So here he's crying out, and he's wanting them to understand something about the Holy Spirit, about the Spirit of God, how important it was that we have that Holy Spirit. You know, remember the well flowed into us? Well, here is a river that's flowing out of us. Now, like I mentioned, the Feast of Tabernacles is around, 7 days long, I think, for this feast. And so 6 days, they would get a parade going, and they would march from the temple over to the Pool of Siloam. It wasn't really that far, 70 yards or so, it says. The priest would have a pitcher, and he would get some water. Then they would march back, go into the temple at the altar. He would pour out the water. One time each of the 6 days. But on the seventh day, they would go and do it seven times. Seven times They would go to the pool of Siloam, get some water, go back to the temple, go to the altar, pour it out. So they did that seven times. Well, this is on the last day that, you know, Jesus was doing this. And what it was, a Feast of Tabernacles was a picture of, they would come and they'd make little shelters like tents and they would live in them. It was for the people to remember their time in the wilderness, their time in the desert. Okay? God sometimes wants us to remember where we came from. Okay? Because sometimes when we lose touch of what we were, it's kind of hard. We can lose touch with society, really. So God would have them do this, and they would bring that, and remember out there in the desert? I mean, I've been in a desert or two in my life. I was in one in Egypt, and yeah, it's hot out there. A lot of sand, no water. So he was wanting them to remember that when they came through the desert, they had to go to the rock, and out of that rock came water, and that supplied their need. It was flowing water. And Jesus was using this picture in the people's head, and it talks about, you know, not a well of salvation, but it talks about the flow of a river coming out of us. The flow of the river, and how important that is. See, we need to be thirsty for more. There's more to God than just salvation, in a sense. It's talking about, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the well was given up good enough, but Jesus offers you and I a river. Why just settle for a well when you can have a river? Now, I've seen some big rivers in my day. I've seen the Mississippi, and many of you probably seen that one. I've seen the Amazon. I've seen the Nile, all these big rivers. And they really move a lot of water. And the flow, and the Bible talks about how we need that second experience, because you said the Spirit wasn't given yet. And to be honest, this passage is where we got the name of the church. River Life Family Worship Center, to me, is synonymous for Spirit Life Family Worship Center. See, I believe in the flow of God's Spirit. I want people to come and experience the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God can go with you everywhere you go. Amen. You know, I can't go with you. Other people here can maybe not go with you, but the Spirit of God can go with you. So it's Spirit Life, and it's a place we bring our families and we worship together. Amen. See, that's what a church, this building is not the church. You are the church. Amen. I am the church. This place is just a worship center. It's a place where we come together with like precious faith, and we want to worship our God. We lift up our hands and cry out to God to move in our lives. We hear the word preached, and as well as we pray together, all these things, because we want to have greater contact and flow with God. So to me, the river flows out. The river is for ministry to others. And we need to see that. See, God is looking for vessels he can flow through, not just flow to. See, God wants to flow through you. God wants to use you. You know, the days, you know, back in the old days, all just let the preacher do it. No, my responsibility, it says in Ephesians 4, is to train you for the work of the ministry. It's a lot better when we all do something than one person doing it all. Amen? Amen? So as he's called us to flow, and I'll be honest, you know, a lot of people just, oh, give me the Spirit, give me the Spirit, give me the Spirit. Well, if you want the Spirit, you got to want to do something. Amen? Amen? You know, just coming and raising our hands and getting goosebumps is all fine and dandy, but I'll tell you what, people, I guarantee beyond a shadow of doubt, you can take this to the bank. It's more awesome when the Spirit flows through you to other people. When God uses you to make a difference in somebody else's life, that's life-changing. Amen. That person's life got changed, but our life gets changed. The greatest experiences I've had with God is when I was helping other people and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through me. And as we do that, then we start to learn more about God. You know, some Christians, you know, they try to keep it all to themselves and to make it sound like, well, you're not good enough for God. But no, that's not the case. Well, none of us are good enough for God. Sometimes people think me, me, me instead of we, right? We need to think we, not me. So me, we need to throw out of our vocabulary when it comes to ministry. You know, it's not about us. Anybody that's ever done something for God, they know that it's God doing it through them. It's not them. You know what I'm saying? You know, some things that I've done, you know, even standing right here, I know it's not me. I know it's God working through me.
Amen.
You know, this is not something I ever desired to do in life. But see, when the Spirit of God got a hold of me, this is the direction He took me. He may not take everybody that same direction. But I do know this, that I've learned that the more we put out, the more God puts back in. So if we want more, we got to give in order to receive. Amen? Don't sell yourself short. Don't think that you can't. Because with God, you can. It's going to change our life. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at a couple passages here now, you know, is for today. You know, some people think it passed away with the apostles when they wrote the epistles. You know what I'm saying? But we need the Holy Ghost just as much today as they did back then, if not more. We live in desperate times. So desperate. There's so many things in this world and so much influence trying to pull and destroy people's lives. We need more of the Holy Ghost. Two scriptures I want us to kind of think about, and we've shared these a long time ago. It's hard to get them all in every week, you know what I'm saying? But John chapter 20, verse 22, is a time when Jesus revealed himself to his followers after he had died on the cross and was resurrected. His followers were together except for Thomas. He wasn't there. And he come into the room. And I don't know about you, but that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Praise God. And he was talking to them. And when the scripture says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, to me, they must have received the Holy Spirit, right? Just seems like it. Says he did. So that's talking about the born again experience, receiving the Spirit for themselves. Okay. And then later on, he told them they have to go wait up in the upper room. I'm not going to go into all that, but you can read it in Acts chapter 1 and go into Acts chapter 2. But what it says here in Acts chapter 1:8, now there's 120 people up in this room. Must have been a pretty good-sized room. And to be honest, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was up there. So Mary's a Pentecostal, praise God. She received the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power." Does anybody need any power? I think we all do. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." So he's talking about the promise there of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Primarily, it's not just to get goosebumps, it's to be a witness. To be a witness. Amen. To a witness to a lost and dying world. And so, even though the disciples had been breathed on by Jesus and they had received the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them, there's more. There's more. So if he says there's more, guess what? There's more. And it's up to us if we want to receive that, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because he gives it freely. The only prerequisite is the fact that we need to be born again. And I want to give opportunity today if you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.